Good morning. I want to give a special welcome to the visitors that we have with us today. We've got a number of visitors, and we're very fortunate and very glad that you're able to come worship God with us this morning. Many of you are from out of town and are taking time from your schedules to come and worship with the brethren. We're glad of that. I want to make mention last week, Sean brought this to my attention as far as the number, but we had 13 little guys with us last week, 13 young people, and not a peep, not a distraction. You kids do so well in church and keep it up, and I wish some of the adults were we're that quiet, but that's another story right there. But kids, good job. We had 13 of you, and we've got a number of you today, and we're glad that you're here to hear the Word of God. Our lesson today is about learning and applying God's Word in our lives. Two totally different things. You can't do anything without learning how to do it first. I mean, I guess you can muddle through things, but you can't do anything properly without learning how, at least not as effective. You know, I don't care whether it's sports. I kind of joke, but I truly mean it. When, as a coach, I joke that I teach sports. I teach football. I teach track. And I coach history. History is not one of those things that kids are, oh yeah, I get to go to history. You got to kind of coach them up to learn history. But you teach sports. You know, it always frustrated me and in some ways made me mad, coaches that would yell at a kid, you know, you missed that tackle. Well, everybody in the stadium knew you missed the tackle. That's a no-brainer. Teach them how to not miss the tackle. Teach them how the proper technique. That's with anything we do. Job-related skills at work. We learn. We're trained. We have in-services and training seminars on what to do, different job-related skills at work. You just don't go in the first day without never have been trained in it and know what to do. Parenting. Wow. I think I wore out our phone when our son was little. Mom, what do we do about this? Mom, what do we do about that? Teach them what to do as a parent. Unfortunately, that's one of the areas you just kind of muddle through. Unfortunately, instead of being taught how to parent, how to teach a Bible class, how to conduct a Bible study with somebody. It just doesn't, you know, you can have knowledge, but you need to know how to go about teaching somebody what it is that you know. And who you learn from is very important. I don't care whether it's a lot of times you learn how to do things from a bad source. A lot of times parenting, we learn good and bad mistakes from our parents, how they did things. It's always important, especially with Bible study, to learn from the source, not somebody else's opinion. If right now, this very hour in Las Vegas, there's hundreds probably of different religious people going about things in different ways. A lot of I think, I feel, because we've always done it that way, are some of the reasons why. If we go by the Bible teaches us, God teaches us through His Word what He wants from us. Turn to Proverbs, the first chapter. Kent read one of the scriptures we're going to be looking at right here in our scripture reading. Proverbs, the first chapter. We're going to read starting in verse 1. Kent read verse 5. We're going to read 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the king of David, son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I love that. The fear of the Lord. Not being scared of Him, but the fear, the reverent fear. Knowing God for who He is, the Creator, the Judge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it all starts, with understanding who God is. But fools, it says, despise wisdom and instruction. You know, these are, excuse me, these are some very, just in these 7 verses, some very wise and important teachings here. You know, going back in verse 2, it says, to know wisdom. You've got to be taught it first. And instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And then verse 3, I'm very impressed with this. This has a big meaning to me. To receive the instruction. A lot of people can be exposed to the teachings, but you have to receive it. You have to have your heart, your mind open to allow the Word of God to come in. In verse 4, it says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. You've got to be able to discern the Word of God. And then, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. How many people in the world and in times past have been foolish and have despised and rejected the Word of God? And the sad thing is they will wind up suffering the consequences. We have to know, we have to learn the Word of God. Psalms 25. Go over to Psalms 25, verse 4. It says, it talks about the attitude of the heart. It says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. This is a heart that wants that knowledge. This is a heart that is open to it. We were talking today on the way to church with Darla. Darla's visiting from Texas. And we were just talking about how some people are closed-minded and they have the attitude, I don't care what it says. She made a comment that somebody told her, I don't care what the Apostle Paul says. I'm this and I'm going to stay this. And that attitude, this attitude here is, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Not my paths, your paths. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. If you were able to grab a handout, the outline, all these scriptures are listed. It says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. I am so glad it's not up to me to figure out salvation on my own. I am so glad that God's loved me enough, not only to send His Son, but to preserve His Word all these years, for us to be able to have the Bible and to refer to God's Word for us. Colossians 3. Go to the New Testament. Colossians 3:16. Paul is writing to the Christians in Colossae, and he says in verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Let it dwell in you richly. You've got to study. Well, you know, study to show yourselves approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we need to be. And here Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We need to have the word of Christ dwelling in our hearts richly. But you know what? Learning the word of God, learning a skill, learning anything without applying it is worthless. It is absolutely worthless. If you know the right things to do and don't do it, how does that benefit you at work? If you know how to conduct a certain skill, if you know what to do in a sport, if you know what to do in a school classroom, but you don't do it. I remember second grade. Yeah, I can remember that far back. It was my will or the teacher's will. I had homework every single night because the teacher had it. She wanted it done a certain way. I can remember my mom being kind of, you know, why does he have, he's little, he's what, 6, 7 years old. Why has he got homework every night that much? She wanted your paper labeled a certain way. It wasn't that it matters. She wanted you to follow directions. She wanted it to be done a certain way. And if you didn't, you had to redo it at home that night. We never had homework, only if you didn't do it the right way the first time. That lesson stayed. I had homework for the first weeks on end, and my mom, you know, why is he, he's a little kid, why does he have that much homework? I'm just feeding, fueling my fire. My dad knew the teacher, and why, that's why he put me in that class. When I got it through my head to do it right the first time, I didn't have homework the rest of the school year because I'd do it right in class. But you have to be taught and you have to apply. I knew what to do. I knew what to do. I wasn't, well, sorry to say I wasn't stupid, but I was hard-headed. I knew what to do. I did not apply that lesson. Knowledge without application is absolutely worthless. Who cares how much you know if you don't apply it in your life? In fact, it's not only worthless, it can be dangerous. Having the knowledge of God's word can be dangerous if you don't apply it and apply it correctly. James 3:1, James warns us that teachers will be held to a stricter standard. We're not only going to be held to a stricter standard amongst other people, we're going to be held accountable. Are we hypocritical or not? Are we saying one thing but doing another? You've got to be able to apply those things. A teacher understands what it is that he's teaching. But if he's not applying it, he's going to be closing doors on himself. You can say the right things, but act in a certain way that you lose all credibility with other people. If you don't live up to what it is, if you have the attitude, do as I say and not as I do, you can be teaching the right things. The people's minds are closed. We see you act one way and you're saying another. Not only will we be held to a stricter standard by people, we will be held to a stricter standard by God. Romans 10. You see the application of God's word in this passage. Romans 10, starting in verse 13. You see cause and effect. You see results. You see application. Paul's writing to the Romans. He says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. They've heard it, they haven't obeyed it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When we put our Lord on in baptism, we just don't do that out of the blue. It's a direct result of applying the things we have been taught. The fact that we're going and preaching to others, that's applying what we've been taught. Matthew 13, verse 13. It's kind of an eye-opening, no pun intended because of the verse here, but it says, Jesus is talking and he says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." There was nothing wrong with their vision. They saw the things Jesus was doing, but they didn't see it. They heard the message, but they didn't hear it. They didn't get it. It wasn't because they didn't understand. They weren't applying it. I always think to myself when I'm listening to a lesson, and even the lessons that I deliver, do I get it? Do I get what it is I'm preaching in God's word about? It's not just, oh, it's for you. It's for you. No, for me. I find it, well, it's sad, but it's kind of funny. All the, you know, some of the people that have the attitude, "I sure hope so-and-so was listening to that sermon. They needed it." Well, I hope you were listening to the sermon because you needed it. Don't say that. But I think it sometimes. How they hear it, but they didn't hear. They heard the words. They didn't apply it. They didn't apply it to them. And I tell you, and it's not just my case, sometimes it's tough to look in the mirror. It is for me every day with a face like this. But it's tough. It's tough to look in the mirror and see your flaws. See where you need to make changes. To see where you need to correct things in your life. That's hard to do. It's easy with others. It's so easy to see the glaring faults in others. So easy. But to look in the mirror honestly, look in the mirror and apply those words of God that you've learned, and to apply them in your life. 2 Peter. Talk about a guy that sometimes needed to be hit on the head with a 2x4 for it to sink in. Peter gained that maturity. He got it. And I love reading 1 and 2 Peter because you see the Peter that Jesus knew he could become. Not the knucklehead. Not that guy that was always having to scramble and make up for his mistakes. Not that impetuous. You see the mature person in 1 and 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd like for you to turn there and We'll read this together. Talk about a passage that wants you to apply the things you've learned and grow. Starting in verse 5, Peter writes, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love." What a building process, and one of applying earlier lessons to build upon it. What's interesting is I look at this, and it's right opposite sometimes of what we assume is the building steps. We build, we think sometimes, to want to get to have faith, to have belief and to have faith in God. That's the first thing here. A lot of times people think, oh, I'm a good, loving person. They think that is the foundation of being religious, to being a Christian. We see love, true love, as the end result. Peter said, add to your faith that knowledge of God. Add to your faith, your belief, virtue. What good is having faith if you don't have virtue? Add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. What good is knowledge of Scripture if you don't have virtue, if you're not applying it? And to knowledge, self-control. Application. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Love of our brothers and sisters. Love of the world. Not just people that love us, but to have that kind of love that Christ had for them. He died for them. He died for us. But to have that kind of love where we want to go out and we see a sense of urgency to bring the gospel to them, to share the gospel with them, not have this I'm saved, safe at third. To take it and apply it to save others. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We've used this verse frequently from this pulpit, and we'll continue to use it frequently. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What good is having knowledge, keeping it to yourself? We've got to come together, apply that knowledge, apply the words of God, to hear more of the words of God. Exhorting one another. We could be studying the Word of God individually in our homes right now. I could have stayed at home, not have to put what I call my hard shoes on, not struggle with this tie every Sunday. I could study the Word of God in my home. I could have taken the Lord's Supper individually by myself in my house. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. How do you exhort one another? By yourself. You can praise God by yourself. You can pray by yourself. You can take the Lord's Supper by yourself. How do you come together with the body, and worship God as a body? By yourself. How do you exhort one another? How do you get exhorted and encouraged? By yourself. You can't. One of the greatest things God gave us was the church. Not these four walls. We're the church. We're the church. He's given us the church to come together, to be strengthened, to learn from each other, to be picked up, giving us people to encourage. Proverbs 27:17, one of my favorite verses. It's one of those marker verses in my Bible. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. What good is having a friend if you and they are not better for it? What good is having knowledge without sharing it? What good is the knowledge of God's word without applying it in our lives? The Apostle John wrote later in life, in 1 John 1:7, he says, "But if we walk in the light," and this is conditional, "but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin." It's conditional. If we're walking in the light, and how do we walk in the light if we don't know what that light is? But if we know what the light is and don't walk in it, it doesn't apply. It doesn't help us. It doesn't benefit us. And that benefit is not only do we have fellowship with one another, but the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from our sin. You cannot do the Great Commission if you're not a poor. You can't do the Great Commission if you don't have knowledge. And you can't do the Great Commission if you do not apply that knowledge that you've got. One of the last recorded messages that Jesus gave his followers before he ascended into heaven, we call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28, turn there. Matthew 28, starting in verse 19. Jesus was getting ready to ascend back into heaven. And he gives a short little passage here, words of wisdom, commandment. He wasn't always going to be on earth. And he's leaving this with his apostles. You're going to have to do it for me. We're going to have to do it for him. He says in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things," not the things that are easy, not the things that you like, "to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Talk about learning and application. Wonderful passage for this. We've got to know the Word of God to be able to teach others. But then we've got to also do it. We've got to be able to teach others, apply what we've learned to others. James 2. James, the second chapter. I'm going to start closing up here. starting in verse 14. This is about application. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but yet you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? If you don't apply what you know to do is right, our faith is dead, worthless. Now we need to make sure that we have the knowledge of God's word, but also that we apply it. Paul reminded the Christians in Corinth that he runs the race in such a way that he won't disqualify himself. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will. Makes that application. Does the will of my Father in heaven. The will of his Father is to be saved. Most of you out there that I'm aware of are saved. There's a few I'm not sure of. You have to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We covered that today. You've got to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You then, after you've heard, you've got to believe. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am he, you will be lost. You've got to believe that I am he. Who is he? The Son of God, the Savior. You've got to confess that belief to others. Matthew 10:32. You've got to make that confession to men that you believe what it is that you do, that Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to repent of your sins. What good is believing in God? And a lot of people believe in God and Jesus, but they don't apply that belief and repent of their sins. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. And he repeats it in verse 5. And we have to be baptized. I don't know how any plainer Jesus can make his teaching when in Mark 16:16 he says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And we have to remain faithful the rest of our lives. Matthew 10:22, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Remain faithful until death, and you'll receive a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism today, we can accommodate you. If you need to repent of sins, if you have sin in your life, not applying God's word, if you need to repent of sin and apply the knowledge that you have, please repent today, this minute. If you need prayers of the congregation, we had Victoria mention earlier that many of you know Victoria and her sister Rafaela Castro. Rafaela worships up at Bright Angel. Their sister, Veronica, passed away recently, and she asked prayers for the congregation, from the congregation. It's tough to lose a dear loved one. That's what we're here for as brothers and sisters, to bear one another's burdens, to where you're not facing things like that alone. Not only is God there, but we as brothers and sisters are there. If you've been visiting with us and would like to make South Valley your home congregation, you're part of the kingdom. But if you'd like to identify and worship with us here, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.